The 9 members of our professional staff recently devoted a whole day to team building as one step in welcoming Eve to our merry band. For the first half of that day, we engaged in a discussion of our Myers-Briggs types. As many of you know, the Myers-Briggs type indicator is a personality assessment based on the work of the Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung. After responding to a series of probes about our personal preferences from a written questionnaire, each of us was given a 4-letter Myers-Briggs type, indicating how we perceive the world and how we tend to make decisions. Those who draw energy from interaction with people are designated with an E for extroversion. Those who draw energy from quiet and reflection and need time alone in order to recharge are designated with an I for introversion. If you are most inclined to trust information that is concrete and tangible, expressed in details, in data, in facts, and derives from the 5 senses, you are an S for sensing. Strong S's, for example, make great scientists. If you tend to find meaning in underlying theories and principles, are comfortable with paradoxes and uncertainty, if you enjoy the realm of possibility, if you trust inspiration and innovation, you are an N for intuitive. Almost every minister I've ever known was an N. If you're attuned to people and their feelings, if you tend to be empathic and sympathetic, if feelings play a big role in your decision making, you're probably an F for feeling. If you prefer logical analysis or looking for things to make rational sense, if you measure decisions by what seems most reasonable, then you are likely a T for thinking. Finally, if you are flexible and spontaneous, if you don't mind leaving things open-ended, you are given a P for perceiving. On the other hand, if you make decisions with confidence, if you are adept at creating and following a path, a plan, you're designated as a J for judging. So, by Myers-Briggs' way of it, we are all either an E or an I, an S or an N, an F or a T, a P or a J. Your 4-letter designation indicates your Myers-Briggs type. How many of you know or from this description can surmise your Myers-Briggs type? Wow, good. Okay. Let's find out. Shall we? How many of us are E's? We draw energy from being with people. Okay. I's, you need to recover from interaction with client. You'll be napping this afternoon. How many are S's? More concrete, fact-based, scientific thinkers. All right. N's, speculative, philosophical, imaginative thinkers. Interesting. How many are F's? Feelings play a big part in your decision making. T's, you try to make the most rational, reasonable choice. How about P's? You're open-ended, you're flexible. Keep them up high, because some of you, This is open-ended and flexible now. Okay. Just making sure you understood. J's, you're decisive, you're systematic. I see our problem now. As we did this work as a staff, learning each other's preferences and tendencies, things made more sense. Understand now why you're so good at that. I can see why doing things this way would frustrate you. I recognize where we're likely to collaborate well and where we will probably keep right on frustrating each other. Now, the Myers-Briggs type indicator is designed to affirm the strength of all types without suggesting that any one type is preferable. At least that's the theory. I've been familiar with the Myers-Briggs for a very long time, and it's fairly obvious to me that though appreciating all types sounds good, the ideal type is actually INTJ. Which, completely coincidentally, just happens to be what I am. What are the chances? In truth, many of us, no one more so than me, will be relieved to know that without using the Myers-Briggs as their guide, our minister search team was remarkably successful in finding a new minister whose core preferences and style offers a distinct variation from mine. Eve is an E, while I am an I. We're both by necessity strong ends. She's an F, and I'm a T. She's a P, and I'm a J. It's just as I had hoped. A colleague with a different approach, with whom I can partner and from whom I can learn. And expanded to our whole staff, a group that works often collaboratively, we reflect several different Myers-Briggs types, offering us, I think, a better opportunity to reflect the variety of approaches within our congregation. To outsiders and to newcomers, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Charlotte can be a confusing place. How is it possible to have committed Christians and avowed atheists? Those whose spiritual path is informed by their Jewish heritage, alongside those inspired by Buddhist teachings. Earth-based pagans with earth-centered panentheists. How is it possible that, for example, our religion includes, as you heard in today's readings, a humanist who is indebted to the Bible-quoting, Bible-believing Christians in her past, and a woman who, having rejected her Muslim heritage, found her way back to an appreciation of Islam and its gifts to her current spiritual perspective? In the confusing cacophony of all of these voices, whose perspective, whose way of seeing things is the preferred one? From time to time, I've had colleagues from other religious traditions ask how I could possibly know what to say on any given Sunday to a group whose members don't share the same spiritual perspective. I explain that we're a bit like the Myers-Briggs of religious traditions. We don't just begrudgingly acknowledge that we here have a multiplicity of spiritual viewpoints. We proudly claim that as one of our core strengths. We don't aspire to sameness, to all seeing it exactly the same way. Oh, every once in a while we've had those who thought we'd be better off if we all thought mostly alike, held to the same truths, and affirmed and rejected the same spiritual perspectives. Wouldn't we be better off if we were all Christians with no atheists? Or all atheists with no Christians? All who respect Judaism or Buddhism or paganism or panentheism? Or all who reject one or more of those spiritual perspectives? Wouldn't we prefer a place where we could simply assume that we all share in the same hopes for the afterlife? Or that we all expect to be reincarnated? Or that we all recognize the afterlife to be nothing more than wishful thinking? Don't we want fixed, concrete, shared definitions? Wouldn't we benefit from the assurance that any of us using any of the words that inform religious communities, spiritual perspectives, faith traditions, including, of course, the words religion, spirituality, and faith themselves, are using them in precisely the same way? Fortunately, throughout our history, that impulse never seems to get very much traction among us. You see, we hold to an ideal, one you'll find expressed in the first few pages of our gray hymnal. It says, grateful for the religious pluralism, which enriches and ennobles our faith. We are inspired to deepen our understanding and expand our vision. If you come here, if you opt to be a part of this congregation, this is what you can expect to find: religious pluralism, which enriches and ennobles our faith, along with an inspired aspiration to deepen our understanding and expand our vision. This defining statement of who we are suggests two things about each of us. One, we each have a perspective we're sharing. And two, we all benefit from the perspective of others. Put another way, a very odd way, we are not woodcocks. Woodcocks are described as squat-bodied, long-billed birds of damp, dense woodlands. Here's what distinguishes this particular species. The eyes of the woodcock are set farther back on its head than those of any other bird. In fact, their ear openings are found below rather than behind their eye sockets. Remarkably, this enables the woodcock to have a 360-degree field of vision. Each woodcock can take in the entire scene. By contrast, a pair of healthy human eyes, positioned as they are toward the front of our heads, has a total field of vision of approximately 200 degrees. This is to say, at any given time, even those with the keenest vision are seeing considerably less than two-thirds of the full field of vision. What is true for us biologically, physiologically, is true also for us ideologically, spiritually. None of us has the capacity alone to see it all. Each of us is limited by our individual perspective and preference. Even INTJs need the insights that others bring. So I'm already benefiting from Eve's contribution of her extroverted inclination to our shared work, just as my bias toward thinking complements her less effective, weak bias toward feeling. There's a 12th century Persian tale found in the poem The Conference of the Birds, written by Sheikh Farood el-Din Attar. In it, the birds of the world embark on a journey. Lacking a true leader, they set out on a quest to find the Simurgh, the mysterious and benevolent king who lives behind the faraway mountains of Kaf. It's an arduous journey, one that takes them through seven valleys where they face various challenges and learn various lessons. When they cross the final valley and they reach the land of the Simurgh, only 30 birds remain. Alas, they discover at their destination not the leader for whom they sought, but rather a lake into which they gaze, seeing there a reflection of themselves, the 30 birds. In the words of the ancient poem, with awe they gazed and dared at last to comprehend. They were the Simurgh and the journey's end. They see the Simurgh, at themselves they stare. There's no ruler to be followed, no one view of things to which all must adhere. There's only the group. They are the Simurgh, the whole community of the birds combined. That's the Unitarian Universalist view of religious community and of the spiritual quest. Of course, each of us has our own particular spiritual path. Of course, we each have a perspective that is ours alone. But we believe the truest path is one that is created together. A path, as we say explicitly, of religious pluralism. By journeying together on this venture of faith, Christians and atheists, Jews and Buddhists, pagans and panentheists, humanists and Muslims, seers of forests and seers of trees, we each, as we say, deepen our understanding and expand our vision. Like those birds on their quest, we have no holy book, no fixed dogma, no set doctrine, no prescribed path put forth by a spiritual exemplar to whom we all look as the authority. Because of that, we need each other's insights, perspectives, viewpoints. We also need one another's humility, respect, willingness both to share and to listen, both to offer and to ask, both to commit and to be curious. We each catch glimpses of spiritual truth. None of us has a corner on that market, amazingly. Not even INTJs. We teach our kids here a simple song that expresses a profound truth. It says, from you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and by this we live. May it be so.